السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن ولاء اليوم الدين. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عما بعد. Jazakallahu khairan for all of your attendance and for our guests at home. Welcome to another live broadcast of One Ummah TV, where we are trying to represent the true message of Islam to the entire world. And yes, you're going to see a few young heads come back and forth. We have a packed masjid tonight. We are broadcasting live from Masjid Abu Bakr in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota, which I would say, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful now because it's December and I'm still sweating, which is a very, very good thing. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, said something very beautiful, and Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala collected it in his Muwatta. He said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, la bu'ithtu al-utamimma husnul akhlaq, that I was not sent but to perfect your akhlaq, your character. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, I was not sent but to perfect your character. Why would the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put so much importance on one thing that he would say, I was not sent except but for this one thing. I was not sent except but for this one thing, which is to perfect and make beautiful and beautify your character, your manners, your conduct. How important is our character in reality to everything that we are and everything that we do? And when it comes to, a lot of people ask, In different scenarios and in different places that I go, what is it that is, you know, hindering the Muslims from really making any progress? There is how many Muslims in the world?
A lot.
Almost growing near to 2 billion. Almost 1/4 of the world's population is Muslim. So I'm asked, why is it that we have such a deplorable condition? Why is it that we have such disrespect? Why is it that we are in this condition when there are so many of us? What is our problem? And it will go back to this very hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I was not sent but to perfect your character. And when we look at the character of the ummah now, and especially when it comes to the youth, especially when it comes to the shabab, our akhlaq is anything but perfect. Anything but perfect. Our character, our manners, our conduct, the way we handle ourselves, the way we present ourselves, the way we deal with each other. The way we deal with each other. Forget about how we deal with non-Muslims for right now. Just the way that we interact with each other is completely unbecoming of that which we call ourselves. So in this condition, what do we expect other than what we put out? What do we expect to return to us other than that which we give out? Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us something very beautiful in Surah Ar-Rahman. Is there any reward for good other than what? What is it? Is there any reward for ihsan other than ihsan? So if that is the rule, that good brings about good, then what does bad bring about? Is there any recompense for bad other than bad? So what you send out will return to you. This is the principle in the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which you send before you, you will find it. When you get to where you're going in this life, you're going to find it. As you move along in this life, you will find it. And you will find it on the day of judgment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm forgoing so much of linguistics and Arabic because you all understand me, right? I don't have to break it down any more simple. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in Surah Al-Ra'd that Allah will not change the condition of a people until they do what? Change the condition of themselves. Now, this does not mean that Allah will not change your bad condition to a good condition necessarily. Because Allah says that He created us what? Brother Jamal said it in his lecture. The Shaykh recited it in Salatul Isha. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Indeed, we created you upon a beautiful mold. Correct? So if Allah created us good, then Allah is telling you, I will not remove that goodness from you until something in you or about you changes. And then if something about you changes from that good condition that is inside of you, then do not expect for anything else other than negative to start changing around you. And unfortunately, we have come full spectrum with the negative condition. So now we have to play the reverse system, which is we need to return to that good condition within ourselves in order that our condition around us can change. And unfortunately, we see all throughout the world right now in the Muslim Ummah, we see the opposite system being implemented by the Shabab to gain a result that in the end may seem to be good. But the way that it's being done is not good. Therefore, it will not bring any good in the end. Because in Islam, the ends do not justify the means. The ends do not justify the means. That means I cannot break Allah's law in order to bring about justice. Does that make sense? I cannot break Allah's law in order to make it easier for me to worship Allah. Does not work like that. I cannot violate the principles of Islam in order to bring about some goodness in the end. Because it will never work. It will never work. Because we see all over the Muslim world the fitna that is taking place. And I'm calling it a fitna. I'm here to call things as they are. A fitna is being created and another fitna on top of it, on top of another fitna. The youth are becoming preoccupied with things that they have no business being in. When at the same time, their preoccupation for the past 10, 15, 20 years has not been on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing the deen of Allah, correcting the situation of the ummah, giving some nasiha to themselves or to their brethren, giving some islah to each other. No, they decide the way we're going to go about changing our condition is we're going to change what is around us. Do you see the weakness of this idea? Do you see the weakness of this idea? I'm going to change my condition by taking my hands and changing what is around me. It will never work. It has not worked in the past, nor will it work in our present state. You want to be on TV, young man? MashaAllah. Nor will it ever work in the future. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the sunnah of Allah there is no... In the sunnah of Allah there is no... Tilawa. There is no change. Allah doesn't change the way He does things. So do you think that Allah is going to change the way He operates for this ummah in 2011? Something He didn't do for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, something He didn't do for the companions, something He didn't do for the tabi'een. Do you think He's going to make some exception for us? No. And for sure, our condition does not even reach to the point to where we even think that Allah should listen to us, much less help us in any way. So what is the real situation that if we want to see some good change in the ummah? Because yes, maybe there is some good intent. Maybe there is some good intent to bring about some change that is better for the ummah and for the children and for the next generation. But with that good intent must come good action. There has to come some good action with it. Because in Islam, there are only two conditions for any deed to be accepted by Allah. Only two. What is the first one? Ikhlas. It must be done sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, to please Him. That's it. If it doesn't meet that condition, first and foremost, you're doing a deed that is not beloved by Allah, nor will it be accepted from Him. And number two, it must be done in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because Aisha radiallahu anha narrated the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told her, if anyone brings into this affair of ours something that was not legislated by Allah or His Messenger, they will have it rejected. They will have it rejected. So what is the real point to me bringing all of this contemporary news to you? It is to give you the real understanding why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَا بُعُثْتُ الْأُتَمِمَّ حُسْنُ الْأَخْلَقِ, that I was sent but to perfect your character. Because this is where it has to start. If we want to see a revival in the ummah, if we want to see a revival amongst the youth, if you really want to get involved, ya shabab, in something that is going to benefit you later in life, or your children, it has to begin here. If it doesn't begin here, then it will bear no fruit. If you plant a tree in concrete, you will see no fruit. It has to be planted in good soil. And this was something very beautiful that Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala stated when he wrote a very famous treaty and a very beautiful book, the Usulat al-Dawah al-Salafiyyah, the methodology of the propagation of Islam amongst the pious predecessors, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, his companions, those who followed him and those who followed him. That they began with correcting themselves first. They internally fixed themselves so that they could externally be a benefit to humanity. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I was not sent to perfect your character. And if I only gave you that hadith, which it is narrated to be authentic, that should be enough. But I want to give you a few more hadith in relevance to what we are talking about, and then be short and sweet and simple and to the point, insha'Allah. Also, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, reported in his book, Adab al-Murfad, or the book of Muslim Morale and Manners, you also find this hadith in Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and others, where Abu Darda, radiallahu an wa arda, reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, nothing will be placed upon your scale on the day of judgment that will be more heavy than good manners. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, there will be nothing on the day of judgment that will be placed upon your scale that will be more heavy than good manners. Subhanallah. Not all the nights that you stood in salah, not all the sadaqah you gave for Allah, not all of the things you did in this life will make any difference or any weight that will be heavier than you having a good manners, than you having a good adab, than you having good akhlaq, than you carrying yourself like a proper Muslim and a proper human being, a proper man, a proper woman. Nothing will be more weighty than this on the day of judgment. And wallahi, on the day of judgment, you will hope that every single one of your deeds can be as heavy as possible. Because for a lot of us, and we know, including myself, we are going to be very worried when that scale is brought out about what is going to weigh out for me. And that's going to be a very trying time. But the Prophet ﷺ said, your good character, the way you deal with people, will be more heavy than anything else you can do in this life. Subhanallah. Also, in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Huraira radiallahu an said, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best amongst you in Islam are those who have the best manners. The best of you in Islam are those who have good manners. The best of you are those who have good manners. Also, the Prophet ﷺ, this is the collected in Tabarani, Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah authenticated it. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best servant to Allah and the most loved person by Allah is the person who has good manners. The person whom Allah loves is not the person who stands up all night in salah, not the person who spends all day reading the Quran. The most beloved to Allah is someone who has good manners. Why? Why? Because if you stand up in salah all night, but your character is garbage, then that salah is apparently not benefiting you. That salah is apparently doing you no good. Because does not Allah say, وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَنَا عَنِ الْفَشَّاهِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Establish the salah, for indeed the salah will keep you away from evil and bad things. So if you are an abid, someone who worships Allah, but when you go out in the street, your character, you don't know how to talk to people, you don't know how to smile to people, you backbite your brother, you slander this person, you yell at this one, you slap this one, then apparently your salah is nothing but exercise. Apparently your salah is doing you no good. Because ibadah is supposed to affect you. Ibadah is supposed to affect how you act. If it doesn't, then your ibadah needs to be checked. There is something wrong with your worship if your worship does not carry over into your character. Subhanallah. Also the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in Bukhari and Muslim and at Tirmidhi, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu an said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was never obscene. He was never harsh. Rather, he used to always tell us that the best of you are the best of manners. He was never harsh. He was never obscene. Never lost his temper with anyone. What was the worst thing that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ever did that Allah had to admonish him for? عَبَّسَ وَتَوَلَّى. He frowned at a blind man. He frowned at a blind man. That was the depthness of any type of small defect you might have found in the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah checked him and corrected him right away. He was never harsh or obscene with anyone. He never passed anyone without a smile. He never met his brother without looking him directly in the face, turning his shoulders towards him, not talking to him while he's looking at this one and Salaamu Alaikum, how you doing? Okay, ya akhi, hold on a second. This was not the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the perfect example of a man, of a Muslim, of a believer, of everything that we should be. A few more. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, if one has good manners, you may obtain the same reward as someone who spends all night in salah. If you have good manners, you may obtain the same reward as someone who spends the entire night praying salah, just by having good manners, just by knowing how to act. And wallahi, I know a lot of parents are telling me, subhanallah, this is exactly what our kids need. I swear, I wish they would act like this at my home. This is what our children need. If we don't give them good manners, we have ruined them for the rest of their lives. I don't care how much Quran you've taught them. I don't care how many hadith you've made them memorize. I don't care how many miswaks you've made them chew up in their mouth. I don't care how many times you've dragged them to the masjid. If they have no character, if they have no manners, then you have ruined them for the rest of their lives. And it is your fault. It is our fault as parents. If our children come to the masjid and do not behave, that should be our fault. The only person we should blame is ourselves. We should teach our children how to act before we teach them anything else. Anything else. They should have discipline and know how to act. Also, a couple more and we'll be done. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam two questions. The first question was, what are the things that will take you to Jannah fastest? Abu Hurairah was very, very smart. He wanted to get straight to the point on certain things. He wanted to be short and sweet and simple. What will take me to Jannah fastest? Because the Muslim is not looking, intending a life of hardship in order to get to Jannah. That's not what we want. Is it? Are you wishing that you could have a struggle and hardship of your life to go to Jannah? No. We ask Allah, رَبَّنَا أَتِينَ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. Allah give us good in this life and good in the next. But if bad comes to us and that makes me go to Jannah, alhamdulillah. But Abu Hurairah wanted to know what will take me to Jannah the fastest. You know what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told him? Taqwa wa husnul khuluq. Fear Allah and have good manners. Simple. Fear Allah and have good manners. That'll take you to Jannah very quickly. He said, okay, what'll take me to Jahannam the fastest? He said, what is between the two lips and what is between the two legs? What is between the two lips and what is between the two legs? And both of those things go directly towards character as well. Because someone with a bad character, what comes out of their mouth is bad, and we know what happens between their legs is never good. Someone who has no character. Also, very simply, how many of you know Imam Malik? How many of you know Imam Malik? The great Imam Malik. The one whom some of the ulama say that the Prophet ﷺ prophesied him to be the great student to come out of Medina. Imam Malik's mother, when she sent him to study with the greatest scholar of Medina, who was a tabi'i, When Imam Malik's mother sent him, she told him, learn his character before you learn his knowledge. Study his character before you study his knowledge. This was Imam Malik's mother. They're telling him, watch his character, watch how he acts, watch how he deals, watch how he deals with people, how he carries himself. Learn that before you learn his knowledge. Because knowledge without character has no benefit whatsoever. And there was a student of Imam Malik. One of Imam Malik's students, he learned everything from the Imam in 1 year. He learned the entire Muwatta. He learned all of the fiqh from Imam Malik that he could. He learned it in 1 year. Was done. But he spent 19 more years with Imam Malik. At 1 year, he was qualified enough to go and teach. Qualified enough. Been given ijazah by Imam Malik. But he stayed with him 19 more years. When his students asked him, why did you stay with Imam Malik so long? After 1 year you were done, why did you stay 19 more years? He said, oh, I spent 1 year learning his knowledge. I spent the other 19 learning his akhlaq. I spent the other 19 studying the man. 1 year studying the knowledge, 19 studying the man. Subhanallah. He gave greater importance 19 times over to the knowledge that Imam Malik gave him, to the character that Imam Malik gave him. This is the greatness that character can believe us, brothers and sisters. Yahya ibn Mu'adh ibn Jabr radiallahu an, the son Yahya of Mu'adh, he used to say that good deeds cannot compensate for bad manners. Good deeds cannot compensate for your bad manners. But good manners may compensate for bad deeds. That you can't have bad akhlaq and then cover that up with good deeds. He said, but it may be possible for you to have good akhlaq that will cover up your bad deeds. So look at the weight and the proportion that Allah Azza wa Jal is given to each. When Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked by a tabi'i, Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, O mother of the believers, what was the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? We didn't get to see him, so describe him to us. Aisha radiallahu anha summed up the entire character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in two words. What were those words? Well, three if you compound them. Kana khuluqul Qur'an. He was the Qur'an. His character was the Qur'an. And when Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he mentions this hadith, he says this is because in respect to bil amri wa nahi, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was kana khuluqul Qur'an, meaning that in its commands, he was the fulfillment of all of it. Everything that Allah had ordered to be done, he did it to the perfectness. He did it perfectly, to the greatest extent. And whatever Allah had prohibited, he was the best example of how to stay away from it. And we know the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us, there is nothing that would bring you closer to Allah, except that I commanded you to do it. I didn't leave anything out. So there's no need to add. He said, and there is nothing that will take you away from Allah, except that I told you to stay away from it. That means the deen is complete. We don't need to add to what is already given to us. And when Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah Al-Qalam, how does he refer to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَالَ الْخُلْقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed you, O Muhammad, are upon great character. This was a description that Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَالَ الْخُلْقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That you indeed are upon a great character, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what does this really mean to all of us? Jazakallahu khairan. I'll take the shot. What does this really mean? How can we perfect our character? What can we do to be a living example to the next generation or to our children, or our children can even be to us? Because sometimes our children are going to become our own teachers, and we need to respect that. We need to be ready for that. We need to welcome that. I hope my son and my daughters grew up enough to advance me and to be able to admonish and warn me. I will be a happy, very happy father. What it means is that we have to decide who we are going to be. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be whom Allah Azza wa Jal has told you to be, has created you to be, has designed you to be upon the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Do you want to be that person? And that might not be the easiest thing to do. It is a struggle to be a Muslim in 2011, in the West, in America, in Minneapolis. It's not the easiest thing to do. Do you want to be that and gain everything that Allah Azza wa Jal wants to give to you for it? Or do you want to continue to act like you have no sense? Do you want to continue to act like your brain is disconnected from the rest of your body? Do you want to continue to act the way you see people act on TV, on all of these reality shows, in all of these rap videos, in all of these movies? Do you want to run around acting like a gangster, a Murian, and you think that's cool? I mean, realistically, you have to decide who you're going to be for the rest of your life. Especially you youth. You have to decide right now, what am I going to be the rest of my life? Am I going to be a mu'min, a believer, a muhsin, a doer of good? Am I going to be a Muslim? Am I going to live according to that? Or am I just going to call myself that while I continue to try to live this life that I see on TV, that I see in movies, that I see in music videos, and just play the game? You have to decide. But in reality, that decision is going to come to fault anyone except yourself. You are the one that is going to have to bear the burden of that. Because there's going to come a time, and it's not too far away. I'm telling you, I can't tell you when, but I can tell you it's not far. There's going to come a time where you're going to have to pick a side. You're going to have to pick a side. The side is going to be picked for you. Either look, you're over there or you're over there. Come on, man, make your choice. There is going to come a time where Allah Azza wa Jal is going to lay a clear line between haq and batil. That's it. Here is truth, here is falsehood. Take your choice. This was done during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said there will come a people at the end of time who will do it again. They will do exactly what we did. They will lay a line in the sand and say, this is haq. Over here is good. Over here is ihsan. Over here is jannah. Over here is the pleasure of Allah. And over here is everything else, batil, fasiq, fasad, everything else, munkar, whatever you want to call it. And if you want to go over there and stay over there. And that's just the way it is. So you need to realistically make a decision now, before Allah Azza wa Jalla makes the decision for you. Because every day that you wake up, and you are able to say, La ilaha illallah, know that's a gift. Realize that. Stop playing with it. It's a gift if you can wake up and say, La ilaha illallah, who has woken me up and given me this life. Because Allah Azza wa Jal could very easily take that guidance away from you and wake you up just as ignorant as the other three quarters of the world that is out there right now. And probably three quarters of this ummah, unfortunately. Guidance is not something that you deserve. Guidance is not owed to you by Allah. Guidance is a gift. Islam is a gift. And as long as you continue to play with that gift, know that you are standing on the edge of a cliff. That if Allah decides to erode the ground under you, or give you a little shove from behind, you will go off a cliff that you can't come back from. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ يَحْدِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ اللَّهُ. Whomever Allah guides, they are indeed guided and no one can misguide them. But whomever Allah misguides, and that is the correct translation, whomever Allah sends astray for whatever reason He chooses to do so, maybe because of your own evil, whomever Allah sends astray, for them you will not find any guide except Allah. So know that guidance is not something to be toyed and played with. It is not something that you should jump back and forth from, the day I'm going to do this, or do this, okay, this time here I'm going, there's some brothers over there, so I'm going to straighten myself up, we're going to this Islamic event, so I'm going to act good, and then I'm going to go here, I'm over at the hookah place on the weekend, and doing the aghila, and doing all the other craziness and foolishness. It's time for us as youth to stop playing games with ourselves and stop playing games with the world. Because our character is what's going to make or break us. The character of this ummah, the integrity of this ummah is its strength. The integrity of this ummah is its strength. And if that integral bond of our character is not strong, then we as a ummah will not be strong. And until we learn to deal with each other with dignity and honor and respect, do not expect the world to deal with you any different. If we continue to have animosity against one another, if we continue to have envy towards one another, if we continue to backbite one another, slander one another, talk about one another behind one another's back, wish evil upon one another, put the sihr on this one, the ayun on this one, and you all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like it's something new. As long as this continues to infect this ummah, we will have a cancerous disease that is going to eventually kill us. If we don't cure it. And the only cure for this cancer that is killing the ummah is for us to get our character back. is for to us establish ourselves upon the noble characteristics of Islam and upon the noble characteristics of the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There is no other way forward. I don't care how many people try to come up with some grand ideas of how they're going to go about doing this grand scheme of taking over the world. It's never going to work. Allah gives the dignity and izzah and honor, and He gives the dominion of this earth to whom He wishes. Not whom you take it from. To whom He wishes. So if there are tyrants in positions of authority among us, guess what? There is something that we need to fix amongst us for Allah to make us honorable enough to have qualified leaders. Because Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, and I finish with this one last statement, and I'm bringing this up in the context of what is happening. Because we around the world, Muslims, all over the world, and I don't want to start mentioning names, you know where it's happening. You know where it's happening, how many Muslim countries. We are losing our bleeping minds. We have no sense right now. Running around thinking that we're doing something positive. and we are making ourselves worse than we began with. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that the ruler, the one who is in rule over you, is a reflection of what is inside of you. He used to say that the ruler is a reflection of what is inside of you. Guess who was the ruler at the time of Hassan al-Basri? Anybody know his name? At home you can scream at the TV. We might hear you over here. Hajjaj. Hajjaj. How many of you know how evil Hajjaj was? You couldn't put 10 La Husni Lal Mubariks. I don't like to call him Husni Mubarak because in him was no Husni nor no Mubarak. But you couldn't put 10 of him together and make one Hajjaj. Hajjaj was someone who was thirsty after blood. And normally it was the blood of Muslims. He was someone who used to oppress the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and their followers. Do you know that there was a group of Shabab? Authentic. This is a story. It happened. There was a group of Shabab that came to Hassan al-Basri because he was the Imam of his time. He was the scholar to go to of his time. They went to him and they wanted a fatwa from him. They had already made up their minds before they ever came to him. But they wanted him to kind of give a stamp endorsement to it. They said, Ya Hassan al-Basri, Ya Imam, give us an opinion to go and fight Hajjaj. We want to throw him out. He's killing us. He's whipping our backs. What did Hassan al-Basri say? He said, no. He said, number one, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, as long as the rules establish Allah, listen and obey to them, even if they whip your back. He said, number two, if this condition of the ruler being a tyrant over you is because of a punishment of Allah upon you because of the sins that are within you, then a punishment from Allah cannot be removed by the sword. You cannot remove a punishment from Allah by a sword. He said, and number two, if it is a test from Allah, then know that tests can only be won through patience. Tests can only be won through patience and consistency and constancy. You know what those young men did? What do you think they did? They went and fought Hajjaj anyway. Do you know what happened to all of them? They all were slaughtered. Hajjaj captured and killed every single one of them. And Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah used to say about those young men, no good ever came from them. No good ever came from them. He said, the young men of this age are too quick to reach for the sword. He said, if only they would be a little patient. If only they would be a little patient and fix what is within inside themselves, it would not be long before Allah would show them a way out. Does Allah not say, وَمَا يَتَقَ اللَّهَ Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make for him مَخْرَاجَ Allah will make for him a way, even when he cannot see it. Those who fear Allah, Allah will make for them a way, even when they cannot see it. So you're not going to make your own way in this life. Allah Azza wa Jal is going to set conditions for you for the rest of your life. And those conditions, your life is going to be determined around what is inside of you. So if your life is miserable right now, you need to take a step moment and step back and think, there's only two reasons my life can be miserable. Two reasons. Number one, I have a lot of masiyah. There's a lot of sins that are coming back to me. Because Allah says the evil that comes to you is because of what your own hands have put forward. Or number two, if I am doing my best to strive and please Allah Azza wa Jal, then this hardship is nothing but a means for Allah to forgive me in this life and raise my rank in the next. Has to be one or the other. And only you can make that determination. But you need to make it. And I'm going to tell you right now, that for about 99% of this ummah, it's the first condition. That the sins that are within us and the sins that we are creating amongst ourselves are reciprocating back to us. And that reciprocation will not stop until we start putting out some good. Because the reward for good is good. So we cannot expect good is going to come to us without some good coming from us. So we need parents. Parents, please. We need to focus on our children's behavior. I know you want them to become a Hafiz Quran by the year 2.5. I know that you want that. I know you want them to be all these beautiful things. But if they have no good character, then they're not going to be any good to anyone. And they are going to be a means of adab for you in the next life. Because for me, I look at my children, alhamdulillah, with beauty and I love, but also I see that I'm planting a seed. I'm planting a seed for a long time after me. Yes, I'm a little bit selfish with my children. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, when I go to my grave, all of my deeds come to an end except for three. Right? Three. Number one, sadaqa jariya, something I have given or distributed that becomes beneficial to someone else after me. What else? What is it? Speak up. Yes. My mind just blanked out. Yes. A child, and I was exactly what I was trying to think of. Exactly what I was talking about. It's called a mind fart, I guess. Do so from my brain. A child who is righteous, who makes dua for you after your death. So I'm a little bit selfish in my children. I want pious children because, yes, I want them to be good and have a good life and make the ummah good, yes. But I also want to have something when I get to the grave, some children are going to continue to make dua for me. And I tell my children, I'm going to tell them, look, if you don't make dua for your father, don't come looking for me on the Day of Judgment. I need as much dua as I can. But if you don't have a child that is not pious, don't expect that they're going to make dua for you. So we need to put some akhlaq in our children. We need to teach them some manners, some behavior, some character. And guess what? If you don't have good character yourself, don't expect your children to have it. Your children are a spitting image of you. They are a reflection of you. So if your children have bad behavior, guess what? I know that you have bad behavior. It's just the way it is. I know there's something wrong with the parents. Because the children learn everything from us, just like animals. They learn their behavior from their parents. So inshallah ta'ala, we can start focusing on our children and have good characters. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا بُعِثْتُ لُتَمِمَّا حُسْنُ الْأَخْلَقِ. I was not sent but to perfect your character. So we need to work on our children's character, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And all of you at home, جَزَاكُمُ خَيْرًا for another great... Some beautiful questions here. I don't know if this is question or questions. Oh, it looks like questions. For all of you at home, I hope you've enjoyed another beautiful live show of One Ummah TV. We're going to be live all this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night until 8 p.m. insha'Allah ta'ala. And then we'll be off to New York, bi'idhni Allah. And for all of you here in our audience, please make sure that you go to oneummahtv.com, check out what we're doing, give feedback, give some support, let us know, because this is a humble project that right now is very, very undermanned and underfunded. But inshallah ta'ala, it will be something that is successful, bi'idhni Allah. أَقُولِ كَذَا هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَجَزَاكُمُ خَيْرًا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله We're going to take the questions now, so we'll stay live with our audience until we finish Q&A. Okay, there are some people with good character in the masjids, but at the house or with the families, they are opposite to what they pretend to be. Can you define something hypocrites? Okay. I kind of get somewhat. I doubt you'll be able to read it either. It's talking about some people may have a good character here in the masjid, but... Oh, can you define them as hypocrites? I'm not going to call anyone a hypocrite. That is not something you do, because if that is an unbefitting characteristic you give to someone, then you are the one that it falls upon. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you look at your brother and point at him with kufr, say this brother right here is a hypocrite, he's a kafir, and it is not deserving, you lose your Islam. You lose your entire Islam. So we know the characteristics of hypocrites are many, but they are people who say one thing in public, yet they do another behind their back. Just to say that someone acts good in public, but then at home they have some sins amongst themselves that they hide from the public, that's not hypocrisy. That's hopefully taqwa. That they have some shame, they have hayya. To have shame in public, to not act unbecoming. That I know I have some sins and maybe I fall into that sin when I'm alone by myself. Okay, khalas. That is showing that I have some shame, and shame is a part of iman. Hayya is a branch of iman. So there's nothing wrong with that. But if that hypocrisy is that the man is good in public, he kisses his wife, oh habibti, and his children, he goes home and slaps them around all over the house, then that's a whole other story. But in general, when someone tries to hide their evil, they do, away from the people, that's not hypocrisy. Inshallah, that's hayya, that is shame, and that is a branch of iman. And that is something you should do. I tell everyone, if you have sins, keep them to yourself. Keep them to yourself. Don't come out and affect other people with them, because the Prophet ﷺ said that the believer is someone whom other believers are safe from their tongue and hands. That means they keep my evils to myself. Am I perfect? Of course not. But I do my best to keep that from affecting other people. That is my love towards my fellow brothers and sisters. That if I have sins, I keep it to myself and I work on it by myself. I don't make it a public spectacle. It's not saying, oh, I'm, you know, some brothers will tell you, and I've had this happen. You see them doing sins in public, doing crazy stuff in public. Akhi, control yourself. Are you a Muslim in public? He say, no, akhi, I'm real. I'm not like those other hypocrites at the masjid that smile in your face and then they go home and they... You're not real. You're a real idiot. You're a fool if you think that acting like a fool in public is being real. Go be a fool at home. At least the only person that will know is if you're a fool is you, and maybe your wife or your parents. But everybody won't know you as a fool, because my dad used to say something very beautiful, and my grandfather said it before him. It's better to be thought a fool. It's better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all the doubt. So, keep yourself to yourself, man. If you have problems, keep them to yourself. Work on them between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask Allah sincerely to keep it from you. But don't go spread it in public, because this is not becoming of a Muslim. Inshallah. I am a parent. I feel like I haven't taught my kids to have good character. Today they are old and I don't think I can do anything about them. Please help. What should I do at this moment? Unfortunately, I have to be real with you. There's not much you can do. It's been done. This is the thing that we should really worry about as parents. That when your children become old and they have attained their character and stepped away from the nest, then it's already done. You can advise them. You can give them nasiha. Dad, you can smack them upside the head a little if you want to. Nothing wrong with that. Don't take it too far. They will take you to jail nowadays. But there's nothing wrong with a father checking his child. But at an older age, when they become an adult, you've already... Their character's already been cemented. It's like going out here and trying to take one of these old oak trees on 13th Avenue and teaching it to bend this way. It's not going to bend. You should have done that when it was a soft sapling. It's mendable. Children are like trees. They're mendable. When they're little, you can put sticks around them and change it however you want to. You can make a tree look like a Z, a B, whatever you want to do with it. But once it gets old, the only thing you can do is look at it or cut it down. That's really it. So, unfortunately, as parents, we can only give nasiha to our children once they reach a certain age and they step away from us. We cannot make the mistake. Don't have the regret of a parent who looks back and realizes that I may have ruined my child's life and ruined their character. Because then the only thing you can do is two things, parents. You can give them nasiha, and the greatest thing you can do for them is what? Make dua, because the Prophet ﷺ said that the dua a parent makes for their child is answered by Allah. Allah hears that dua and He responds to it. Earlier I kept on saying good manners, but can you please specify exactly what is good manners? Good manners, having good manners, is following the example of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in character, in word, in deed, in action, in dealings, in eating, in drinking, in sleeping, in using them in school, everything. Doing everything the way the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did, this is husnul khuluq. This is good manners. To look at the Prophet and say, he did it this way, I'm going to do it that way. And there is no extreme in following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't care who tells you, there is no extreme. If you want to jack your pants up above your ankles because it's the sunnah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, those who do not practice isbal, Allah will not look at them or purify on the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah, tabarakallah, may Allah reward you. If you want to brush your teeth with a root, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you. Everything the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did, he did it upon wahi. Allah says this in Surah Al-Najm. He does not speak of his own desire. It is nothing but wahi yuhya. It is nothing but a revelation revealed to him. So the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the perfection of good character. Because if I went through and said smiling, talking gently, we would be here for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. But everything the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did is the perfection of good character. Brothers, any question before we take some more written ones from the sisters? Yes. How do you make dua for other people? You simply just ask Allah Azza wa Jalla whatever you want to ask for them. If you want them to be a better person, say, Ya Allah, increase the iman of so-and-so, purify them of their sins. And you know the beautiful thing about this dua. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, whoever makes dua for his brother, angels surround him. And as he is saying the dua, they say, Ameen wa iyyak. They say, may Allah accept it and return it to you. So the angels will make the same dua for you that you make for your brother or for your sister. So rather than backbiting and slandering our brothers and sisters and getting Ameen wa iyyak, may Allah accept it and same back to you, we should be asking for something for our brother and wishing something about them that we would hope would be returned to us. InshaAllah. Any other questions? Yes, brother. The question was, you know, we hear a lot about character building, but we don't see a lot of pinpointing what are the real problems that exist within the society and youth, and this is a problem. We do need to, as imams and facilitators of masajid and du'at and speakers, we need to, what is the word I'm looking for? Call a spade as they say. We need to call things how they are. We need to pinpoint the problems that we have, especially in our communities, whatever they may be, and we need to be clear about them. There is nothing wrong with standing up in the masjid and say we have problems with Muslims practicing sihr. We have problems with men, young brothers, partying and going and sleeping with young sisters. We don't, should not have a problem with saying that it's a problem. If you keep sweeping the problem under the rug, guess what happens when you sweep mold under the rug? It continues to grow and gets worse and more deadly, becomes black. So we need to take care of this and clean it up before it becomes an infection. Because once it becomes an infection, it becomes very hard to get rid of. And unfortunately, a lot of the infections that have plagued our community have become chronic infections. And chronic infections can turn into malignant. They can be deadly. They can be something that will destroy us. So we have to point them out. And we shouldn't point fingers like so and so and so on. This is not how the Prophet ﷺ did things. He would speak in general circumstances. He would speak in general, so he would know that there is a problem and he would address it in a general meaning without pointing to any individual. But that a problem was very clear. What needed to be done was very clear. And our imams and our shayukh and our du'at need to be very clear about what is the problems affecting the Muslim community and what is the clear solutions so that parents can really go about it. Really go about doing it and really going about changing it. And I wish there was time to do that in a 30, 45 minute lecture to tell you how we can put character in our children, but it's just, reality is not. But we need to address that issue so that we can have some maybe more seminars to address how to build character in our children and teach them proper manners, inshallah. Any more? We'll take a couple more. How can a person enter paradise that has good manners? Well, a person only enters paradise by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah, the most beloved slave to Allah is the one who has good manners. And for sure know that anybody that Allah loves is going to enter into Jannah. There is no question about our aqeedah about that. Whomever Allah loves, they will go to paradise. So if Allah says the best of those whom He loves are those who have good manners, then these people will be at the front of the line. These people will be at the front of the line to enter Jannah insha'Allah ta'ala. Because you can get from good manners that reward which you can't get from any other good deed. Having a good manners insha'Allah. Any other question from the brothers? If not, we'll take a question from the sisters.
There are some youngsters with a strong and strange character. How do you approach them and tell them to have a good character that reflects the character of the Prophet?
It's talking about there are some of the youth that have strong and strange characters. Yep, I would agree. Strong and strange is a good description. How do you approach them and tell them to have good character that affects the character of the people, of the Prophet ﷺ? First and foremost, you address it with gentleness. Everything begins in Islam with gentleness. With gentleness. So you talk to them gently, nicely. Look here, akhi. Look here, young man. Ghulam, whatever you want to call him. That's not the way you should be acting. You do not make yourself look good or dignified by doing this or that and the other. The character of the Prophet ﷺ is the best example to be followed. And it would be advisable to you to do this. If that avenue doesn't work, then the approach can get increasingly more stern. It can get a little bit more strong every time you go to them. And every time you go to them, you get a little bit more firm. And a little bit more firm. And a little bit more firm. Until finally, if it comes to the point where I have to just straight up tell you, look, you're an idiot. If you continue to act this way, stay the heck away from us. Go over there and do your little thing. Don't bring it over here. We don't want to see you in here anymore. We don't want to see you around here anymore. There's no problem with doing that. There's no problem if a point comes to where you have to separate yourself from the batil. You have to separate yourself from the evil. It comes to a point that it needs to be done, then it needs to be done. But we do have to recourse ourselves to trying to bring the youth in with gentleness. And never failing to extend that hand if that same person whom you had to run off because you could not get to them or you had to disconnect for not get to them. If you see them ever needing your assistance, then your hand is there again to join those ties and help them once again. But realistically, we do have some of the youth of the ummah that I wouldn't want anywhere near my children. There's some shabab that are running around in our families that realistically, they need some serious help. They need some probably help that the imam can't give them. The help that really maybe they will only learn through the hard knock life out there in the streets. And hopefully it does not cause them jahannam in the process. But we need to cut that off before it gets that far. That's the unfortunate fact about it. You know, when it comes to times like this, where we have such severe problems that it's becoming a disease to the community, it's time to round up who we can save and work on that. We can't save everybody. We can't bring everybody on the same page. So we need to find those which are still workable and work with them. And hopefully, inshallah, we make dua for the rest of those that are out there. Maybe there are some brave soldiers who will go out there and deal with them. It takes a brave soldier to go out there and deal with some of these Murians now because they need a little bit more than talking to, unfortunately. But inshallah, we can try to deal with them in the way that needs to be. Wa alaykum salam. If you bypass what? Oh, if you backbite someone. If you backbite someone and you never get to ask forgiveness for them, you will have to deal with it on the Day of Judgment. You can ask Allah for forgiveness all you want, but on the Day of Judgment, you have to deal with that between you and that person. Because if you harm, that's the thing about it that we don't realize. All this slandering and backbiting we do to our brothers and sisters. It is not forgiven by you just saying, oh Allah, forgive me. You have to go to that person whom you have sinned against and ask for their forgiveness. If I backbit so and so, if I want Allah to forgive me in this life rather than have to deal with on the Day of Judgment, I need to go to that person and be honest with him. Look, realistically, I spoke ill about you one time in your absence. And I'm telling you that because I love you for the sake of Allah and I want Allah to forgive me. So I'm asking for your forgiveness so that you can forgive me and then inshallah Allah can forgive me. That's the quality of a believer. That's the quality of a Muslim. That's the quality of a man. And that's the quality of a woman. If you can't do that, then you have no real goodness in you whatsoever. You need to be able to do that. Look, I did this, I said this about you, please forgive me. You need to do that before, because if not, then that will have to be dealt with on the Day of Judgment, because Allah cannot forgive me for something that I did against Fulan. Because I did it against Fulan. I did not commit the sin against Allah. I did it against Fulan and against Allah. Allah can forgive me for the evil that I have committed in His sights. But when it comes to human beings, justice will be weighed on the Day of Judgment. It's unfortunate.
Allah prefer the one with good manners more than
anyone. Allah loves the one with good manners more than anyone. The Prophet ﷺ said, the most beloved to Allah of his slaves are those who have good manners. So that means in general sense, he loves them more than anyone else. InshaAllah. Yes, young man. And they say they don't forgive you, then you have done their job and now the sin goes upon them. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, those who do not show mercy to one another and have forgiveness towards one another, they will not be shown mercy by Ar-Rahman. So if someone comes and says they backbit against you, will you forgive me? I'll forgive you. Because I forgive you, because I want Allah to forgive me. What if I go before Allah and say, Ya Allah, forgive me? Allah says, no. We wouldn't want that from Allah, so we should not expect that from each other. Let me take one from the sisters and then I'll take another from the brothers, because we're running out of time, right? Okay, we'll take one more from the sisters and one more from the brothers. Make dua for everybody. Ameen. I will. Is it haram to eat the food of the kuffar's holidays? I think it's holidays. It's a good question. The Prophet ﷺ said, Khaliful Mushrikeen, distinguish yourself from those who associate a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal. Distinguish yourself from them. Be different from them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when it comes to all of these holidays, and the last one actually was one of the biggest fitna holidays, because so many Muslims confuse themselves and they're thinking it's not religious. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, when it came to holidays, he said, we have how many? Eid Ain. You have two. Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Aha. Are there any exceptions? No. There's nothing else. There is nothing else. He said you have Eid Ain. Two celebrations, two Eids. So when these people are running around stuffing themselves with turkey and all of this other kashin that's just going to do nothing but go straight to their legs and their futus, and you think that you need to go and do that just because you like to eat turkey, and you like to do all of that, there's nothing wrong with you eating turkey on November the 23rd. There's nothing wrong with that. But to do it because it is a certain day, this is impermissible in Islam. And honestly, the ulama have said that if the kuffar, the Christians or the Jews, if they're used to doing something on a certain day that is permissible in and of itself, then you should try to refrain from doing it on that day just to distinguish yourself from them. If they eat turkey on November the 23rd, Muslims should ban turkey on November the 23rd. We boycott turkey on November 23rd just because they eat it. Because we were trying to show we're not like you. We're not like you. We do our own thing. And then some people will say, oh, well, if we act like that towards their holidays, they'll act like that towards our holidays. Who cares? We don't need them to approve our holidays. I don't need them to approve my holiday. Allah Azza wa Jalla approved it a long time ago. I don't need their permission to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. I don't need them to like my Eid. But I need them to understand that I'm not like them. And that what I have is better than what they have. And I cannot tell them that what I have is better than what they have if I'm trying to do everything that they're doing. How can you tell someone that I, as a Muslim, am better than you when you spend all of your time trying to look, act, walk and talk and be like them? No, I'm not like you. Look here, I don't do what you do. We try to do it completely opposite. If they are used to doing something out of religiosity, it is just the character of the Muslim to do something completely different from them, even if that thing is halal in and of itself. Unless, the scholars are of the opinion, unless it's something that becomes a norm and known amongst the entire ummah, then that becomes something completely different. But we should try to differentiate ourselves from them. So I love to eat turkey. Man, turkey is good. Stuffing, cranberry sauce, What's wrong with all of that? Nothing. I just am not going to eat it on November 23rd because I'm going to distinguish myself from them. InshaAllah ta'ala. And when it comes to all of these other Qashin holidays like Christmas, A'udhu Billah, and Thanksgiving, Halloween and Easter and Valentine's Day, birthdays, Mawlid, whatever you want to call it, it is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so it is a rejected act that you do, and it is something that you put inside this deen, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَشَرَى الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ دِلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ دَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. The worst act that you can do is something that you incorporate into this deen that's not supposed to be in it. And every one of those things is a dalala, it's a misguidance, and for sure every dalala goes to nar, goes to the fire. I'll talk to you afterwards, inshallah. Come see me. So inshallah, we're going to bring it to a close.